Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Story Shop. I'm Princess Tamalpa.
And I'm Aunt Sally. What do you have in your hand, Princess Tamalpa? Is it an Easter egg?
It sure is. Listen, it's hatching.
Oh, look at the cute baby chick.
You know, Aunt Sally, Easter is the Christian celebration of new life.
And also the beginning of the Christian religion.
Yes, it all started with a man named Jesus of Nazareth. He's the one whose birthday we celebrate at Christmas and whose story we're going to hear today.
This is the Easter story. Imagine yourself going back in time to 60 AD, which means 60 years after the birth of Jesus Christ. We are in the home of Mary of Magdala, who was one of Christ's closest followers and friends. It's a humble cottage outside the walls of Jerusalem. Pots are hanging over an open fire in the fireplace, and their contents are bubbling and steaming. A leg of lamb is roasting on the spit in preparation for the Passover feast later that day. Its smell fills the small house. Mary's sister and her children are visiting and playing in front of the fire. One child, a girl named Esther, calls out, "Aunt Mary, will you tell us the story again of Jesus rising from the dead?"
"Yes, yes. Please tell us about Jesus, Aunt Mary."
"Very well, children. It's a story I never tire of telling myself. We were all so changed by it." It was time for the Passover festival. Jesus and his disciples, as well as some other followers, had entered Jerusalem. He'd been telling us many stories, trying to help us understand something that he seemed to have a foreknowledge about. It was as though he knew he was going to die and wanted us all to learn as much as we could before he left us. I can remember his words so well. It's as though all these years never happened, and we are all sitting together on the floor as he talked.
"My children, for a little longer I am with you. Then you will look for me, and, as I told the Jews, I tell you now, where I am going you cannot come. But before I go, I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you." "Well, Peter, what is it? You have a questioning look on your face."
"But, Lord, where are you going?"
"One day you'll know."
"But why can't we know now? Why can't we go with you? I would lay down my life for you any day. Just take me with you."
Peter, you mean well, but the human flesh is weak. I am afraid that before the cock crows three times, you'll have denied you even know me."
"Master, not I."
"Yes, my friend. Even you will betray me in order to save your life. But when I am gone, remember my words and my commandments, especially this one. Love one another as I have loved you. There is no greater love than this, that man should lay down his life for his friends."
"No, Master, no. You can't go."
"No, no, we need you here. Stay with us a while longer."
"My work among you has been done. I tell you the truth. It is for your own good that I am leaving you. If I don't go, the Spirit of truth will not come, whereas if I go, I will send him to you. In human form, I am limited to being heard only by a few men and women, but the Spirit of truth will enter the hearts of all people, and God's will shall be made known to many."
"Can this be true? I've never heard of such a thing before."
"Master, your words are so convincing, we're sure you must know everything.
You must have come from God."
"So you now believe. But look, my time grows short. I must be about my Father's business. Let's sit at the table and have our final meal together. Peter, why don't you sit here on my right, and Judas, you sit on my left. Here is the bread. Pass it so each has a share to dip in the wine. Before the night is over, one of you will betray me to the authorities."
"What do you mean, Master? None of us would betray you. We love you."
"That is so. But there is one here who will go to the high priests and tell them where I am, and that man is one of the 12 who is dipping bread in the same dish with me."
Is it I, Judas, who will betray you?
You have said so, Judas. It is so. Now let's have bread. Here, take, eat. This is my body given for you, and the wine is my blood of the covenant which is poured out for many. I tell you, I shall not drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God.
Everyone was shaken by what Jesus had said at their final supper together. No one really believed that Jesus would be betrayed by Judas or that their master would actually die. Later, they went out of the house and into a large garden known as Gethsemane. Jesus went off by himself to pray. He was distressed and cried out,
"Please, Father, is it not possible for this burden to be taken from me? Aren't all things possible for you? Yet, I know, in my heart of hearts, that I must go through with this. Let not my will be done, but yours."
It wasn't long before a crowd approached with Judas leading. They all carried swords and clubs as well as lanterns to light their way. Jesus, who knew what was about to happen, did not run away. Instead, he walked up to the leader and asked,
"Who is it you want?"
"Jesus of Nazareth!"
"I am he."
"Take him, men, and all the others, too!"
Peter drew the sword he was wearing and struck at the high priest's servant, determined to save his master, and cut off the servant's right ear. But Jesus stopped him, shouting,
"Peter, put your sword back in its sheath. Haven't I already told you that this is the cup I have been given to drink of? There is no turning back now. They are afraid of me because my teachings are from God and do not conform with their laws. They will not be satisfied until I am dead."
They grabbed Jesus and some of the disciples and led them to the high priest. Peter followed at a distance and remained in the courtyard while Jesus was taken up to the high priest's council chambers. Many people gave testimony against Jesus and even lied about what they had seen and heard.
"I heard this man, Jesus, say, 'I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another not made with hands.'"
"Yes, and I heard him say he was the Son of God."
The high priest looked from one to the other, then asked Jesus,
"Well, man, have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you?"
But Jesus was silent, so the high priest asked,
"Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?"
"I am, and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven."
"Do you need any more evidence than this? Why do we still need witnesses? You have heard his blasphemy. What is your decision?"
"Death! He doesn't deserve to live!
Kill the blasphemer!
Spit on him!
He's no better than a dog at our feet!"
"Prophesize now, Jesus!"
"Prophecy!"
Below in the courtyard, one of the high priest's maids approached Peter and asked,
"Weren't you also with Jesus the Nazarene?"
"I, with that cur? Don't be a fool, woman. I neither know nor understand what you mean."
"Look, everyone. This man is one of the followers of Jesus."
"I'm not a follower of a blasphemer. Don't believe this woman."
"He's lying. He's just afraid of being charged to die with the others."
"Be gone, woman. I do not know this man of whom you speak."
Immediately, the cock crowed 3 times. And then Peter remembered what Jesus had said to him, "Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. He broke down and wept, crying out,
"Oh, God, forgive me for betraying my Lord. He knew my heart better than I. Forgive me."
Then Jesus was tied up and dragged away to the governor's headquarters. There he was presented to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Pilate asked the crowd,
Well, what charge do you bring against this man?
He claims to be king of the Jews.
Are you king of the Jews?
You have said it so.
Look, your own nation and their chief priests have brought you before me. What have you done?
I've only tried to teach my followers what my Father in heaven has instructed me to say. I've spoken openly to all the world. I've always taught in the synagogue and in the temple where all the Jews congregate. I've said nothing in secret.
But are you king of the Jews?
My kingdom does not belong to this world. If it did, my followers would be fighting to save me from arrest by the Jews. My kingly authority comes from elsewhere.
Then you are a king.
King is your word. My task is to bear witness to the truth. For this I was born. For this I came to the world. And all who are not deaf to the truth listen to my voice.
What is truth, man? Who is this man who speaks so eloquently and forcefully? Could he be what he says? But it's not up to me to decide. It's up to the Jews to do with him what they will. Here he is. I find no case against him. You must decide his fate, and I will do your will.
Crucify him!
But what evil has he done?
He's blasphemed against the law. Crucify!
Crucify him!
He claimed to be the Son of God.
Take him and crucify him yourselves. For my part, I have no case against him.
If you let this man go, you are no friend to Caesar. Any man who claims to be a king is defying Caesar.
Perhaps they're right. Why should I stick out my neck for this man? He's nothing to me. Very well, he'll be crucified.
The soldiers led Jesus away inside the palace and gave him a purple cloak to wear. Then they weaved together a crown out of thorns, which they put on his head, and they mocked him, saying,
Hail, King of the Jews! Where's your authority now?
Where's this God you talk about?
Where's your power?
Come, men, let's show the people their king.
After spitting on him and hitting him with sticks, they gave Jesus a cross to carry and led him away to be crucified. When they reached the place where he was to die, they nailed his hands and feet to the cross, then raised it so he was hanging where all could see. I stood with his mother and her sister and some of the disciples, praying that his death would be quick and remembering something that he had once said, that he would rise from the dead, which seemed impossible. We huddled together, watching and helpless to stop the abuse he received from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders.
Here, men! Help me put this sign above the Nazarene's cross!
What does it say? This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. What a fool!
Hey, King of the Jews! You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself!
Yeah, if you're the Son of God, come down from the cross!
Look, man, he saved others, but he can't save himself. Where's the miracle worker now?
If he's the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross and we'll believe in him.
He says he trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he desires him, that is. Didn't he say, I am the Son of God?
In the midst of all the shouts and insults, all went dark and everyone became silent. As the sun disappeared, the earth shook, tearing open the curtain of the temple. It was as though the world was coming to an end. Then Jesus cried from the cross,
my God, why have you forsaken me? Oh, I give my spirit up unto you.
Those who were watching cowered in fear, awed by what they were witnessing. Then the centurion called out,
Truly, this man was the Son of God.
It was hard to believe it was over. We still didn't understand all that Jesus had tried to tell us. We were too blind and limited in our vision. All we knew was that the man we had loved and respected as a great teacher was dead. Later, Joseph of Arimathea, a disciple of Jesus, asked Pilate if we could take Jesus' body away and place it in a tomb, give it a proper burial. Pilate was still shaken from his encounter with this man who was called the Son of God and agreed to give us the body. We took it down from the cross, wrapped it in a linen sheet, and placed it in a tomb that had been carved out of rock. Then we pushed a big stone against the tomb's entrance. Meanwhile, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said,
"Sir, we remember how that impostor Jesus said while he was still alive that after 3 days he would rise again. Therefore, we must order that the tomb be made secure until the 3rd day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he has risen from the dead."
"Yes, I see your point. We can't allow that to happen. I'll see to it that some of my soldiers go and make it as secure as they can."
"Good! We can't have our work undone now."
Early on Sunday morning, I went to the tomb with a couple of the women, Salome and Mary, the mother of James. We planned to anoint Jesus' body with spices, but were worried about how we would move the big stone at the entrance by ourselves. But when we got there, the tomb was open. The stone had been moved. I panicked and called out, "Come, we'd better tell Peter and the others about this." So we ran until we reached the house where they were staying and told them what we had seen. They joined us, and we hurried back to the tomb. One of the other disciples reached the entrance first and peered inside.
"I can see the linen wrappings we put on the body, but that's all. Look, Peter!"
"Yes, and there's the wrapping that was on his head. It's all folded up in the corner. Let's go inside."
"Do you suppose he's risen as he promised?"
"I don't know. It looks that way, but I think we should get the others."
I waited outside the tomb, peering into the interior, shaken and trying to understand what was happening. Then I saw 2 angels dressed in white sitting where Jesus had lain. One of them said,
"Why are you weeping? Who is it you are looking for?"
"They've taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they've laid him."
"Turn around. He whom you are seeking is behind you."
I did as the angel instructed. There stood a man who I thought must be the gardener. I said,
"If it was you, sir, who removed him, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away."
"Mary, it is I, Jesus. Do you not know me?"
"Master, it's really you."
"Yes, but I cannot stay. I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and tell them I am now ascending to my Father and your Father, my God and your God."
I was stunned, but I did as he said. I burst into the house where they were discussing the missing body and all the possible things that could have happened to it. "Peter, John, Andrew, everyone, I've seen the Lord. I've seen Jesus." They were as shocked as I had been. Some didn't believe my story, especially Thomas. But later that same evening, they were all together behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. They still didn't believe my story and thought that Pilate had had the body removed. Suddenly, a light filled the room. Gradually, a form began to take shape within the light until there was no mistaking who it was. Peter was the first to call out,
"Look, it's Jesus!"
"But it can't be. He's dead. We saw him in the tomb with our own eyes."
"Peace be with you."
"Is it truly you, Master?"
"Yes, Peter. I kept my promise. I've come now so that you may receive the Spirit of Truth, which I breathe on you now."
"The light! It's entering us all! We're being filled with the Holy Spirit!"
"But how do we know that this is truly Jesus? He could easily be an impostor. We've had so little sleep these past few days, our eyes could be deceiving us. Unless I see the mark of the nails on his hands and put my finger into the place where the nails were and my hand into his side, I'll not believe it."
Very well. Reach your fingers here. Do you see my hands?
Oh, Master, it burns my heart to feel such wounds.
There's more, Thomas. Reach your hand and put it into my side. Be unbelieving no longer, but believe.
My Lord and my God!
Because you have seen me, you have found faith. Happy are they who never saw me and yet found faith. As the Father sent me, so I send you. If you forgive any man's sins, they stand forgiven. If you pronounce them unforgiven, unforgiven they remain. Now, peace be with you.
Where did he go?
He left as mysteriously as he appeared. He seemed to pass right through that wall over there. But I believe what I've seen. Jesus appeared many more times to his disciples and even ate with them to prove that death had not conquered him. During that time, they finally understood what he'd been trying to teach them all along, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this faith, all may possess life by his name.
Princess Tamalpa, I always think of new flowers and young chickens and baby bunnies at Easter. Springtime is so colorful and alive.
Yes, after a long gray winter, the seeds in the earth burst into flowers, everything crackles with new life.
And that's just what happened in today's story about Easter. Jesus conquered death by coming back to life.
Ooh, look at the time, Aunt Sally.
Oh, we need to say goodbye for this week.
Tune in next week, same time, same station, for the Story Shop.
Happy Easter!
Happy Easter! The Story Shop is a creation of Gail Whitmire Mills and Lily Iona Susi.